Just the first 8 verses, so that we appreciate what's going on. Ecclesiastes, I will read chapter 3, verse 1 onwards. For everything there is a season and a time for every matter under heaven. A time to be born and a time to die. A time to plant and a time to pluck up what is planted. A time to kill and a time to heal. A time to break down and a time to build up. A time to weep and a time to laugh. A time to mourn and a time to dance. A time to cast away stones and a time to gather stones together. A time to embrace and a time to refrain from embracing. A time to seek and a time to lose. A time to keep and a time to cast away. A time to tear and a time to sue. A time to keep silence and a time to speak. A time to love and a time to hate. A time for war and a time for peace. Now we just read that passage to show that really there is someone who is so much in control of time, he's able to bring this to happen, and then it reaches a stage, and then something else happens. And we are honestly saying, it is God. God will end time. However, in heaven, there will be no necessity, actually, of time. A hymn that later we will be singing puts it this way. When we've been there 10,000 years, bright shining as the sun, we've no less days to sing God's praise. And when we've but begun, in heaven, time, if you like, is endless, is eternity. You see, our time on earth is short and is coming to a quick conclusion. By the way, even when you live 100 years, who among us will so do? We don't know. There are those who are close to that age. My own mom was prayed for here. I'm grateful for that. She's close to 100 years, very close. But, dear friend, even if that were the case, the Bible tells us, in a nutshell, that those years considered in the time frame of God are very short. Because Psalm 39, verse 5, declares it this way. Psalm 39, verse 5. Behold, you have made my days a few handbreadths, and my lifetime is as nothing before you. Surely all mankind stands as a mere breath. Handbreadth is basically a measurement from here to here. That's a handbreadth. And we have been told, you have made my days a few handbreadths. And therefore, those of us who may be blessed to live a little longer, let's remember that our days before the Lord are considered but a handbreadth. You look at the book of Job chapter 14, verses 1 and 2. Job chapter 14, verses 1 and 2. Man who is born of a woman is of few days and full of trouble. He comes out like a flower and withers. Lays like a shadow and continues not. And so, this is very humbling. However many days we live, however many years we live, in the program of God, they are but short. And indeed, there we are told, they are full of trouble. No. But there is a part of man, there is a part of man that shall live forever. A part of us, as human, that shall live forever. And Ecclesiastes sets that before us. Ecclesiastes chapter 12, verse 7, puts it this way. Verse 7. And the dust returns to the earth as it was, and the spirit returns to God who gave it. Of course, you'll appreciate this verse usually is never touched till someone is being buried. So that moment when the priest, the pastor, whoever is saying, now could someone help that situation, please? Then this verse is usually read. But actually this verse is showing us when death occurs, there is a part of us that continues to live. The dust, in that sense, our body is buried, soil is put back. The dust waits for the day of resurrection. But you see, the soul lives on. Our souls live on. You see, we are the Lord's. When the Lord gives any one of us, and He has, if you are listening to me, the Lord has given you days. The Lord has put before you time. He is the creator of that time. Of course, He created you. He's the creator of that time. And it is all sovereignly in His hand. And a time comes when He says, enough. And we have witnessed some of the people we know where then the Lord has ended their time, as we see. And yet, for us, we are like that compilation of clips where something happens and death just escapes us by a whisker, as they would say. Why? Well, it is the Lord. It is the Lord. Well, so God created time, God will end time. But in the third place, God created us in that context of time for a purpose. God created us in that context of time for a purpose, dear friends. And please, let's just see a few of these passages. If you are still there in Ecclesiastes, just turn back to what we had earlier read, Ecclesiastes chapter 3, and look at verse 1. Chapter 3, verse 1. To everything there is a season and a time, to every purpose under the heaven. There is a season. See, life is a gift from God. A gift from God given in time and measured by time. You see, each of us are living in exact period of time and exact length for a purpose that God Himself has set. He is the one who purposed our existence to be where we are and when we are. In other words, this precise time. Let me help you. There is this common phrase that often people utter at the moment wakati mtu anazikwa. Oh, the untimely death of so and so. I'm sure you have heard it. Now that actually is not right. It's not true where God is concerned. No one dies. And while it is a phrase that we utter to kind of comfort the bereaved, we are not doing much justice to them. We should bring them God's word. We should bring them to the reality that such a person who has left them through whatever way, actually it is God who exactly gave them the period they lived, the time they lived, where they lived, and for a purpose before God. Well, whether they accomplished the purpose or not, that's a different story. But nothing like untimely death. So let's put it differently. What I'm trying to call or chronological accident. None of us, and some of us may have what ordinarily we would describe as a painful history. Not the representable history of their birth. But if you are here, my friend, you're not an accident. You are not. You are not a biological mistake. No. Remember, we are considering this God who is sovereign, who runs his program perfectly. And he set time, and he has created us, and knows exactly where each and every one of us are. Let's put it this way, even rather. Because not only may we look back at our birth history and be ashamed to speak about it, but there are times when we look back and we realize what we think, oh dear, I fell in some particular sin in the past, a sin that has so changed my life experience now that I just don't know. So that you so look back with much regret and sorrow and everything else negative. Friends, even when we sin against God's revealed will for us, we cannot ultimately disrupt the purpose for which God allowed us to be born. Please, I'm here to encourage every one of us. The end of year is with us. And we are at the threshold, we are at the door. If God so please, be pleased, then we will enter into another year. But you see, we can carry with us so much baggage that it is all dark. It's all misery. It's all a failure. No, it should not be so. Our times are in His hands. You see, turn with me to the book of Proverbs, because I've just uttered that there are times even when we fall in sin. Proverbs 16, verse 4. Proverbs 16, verse 4. The Lord has made everything for its purpose. Even the wicked, the day of trouble. Our sins are not a dead end in the plans of God. And that verse, by the way, is not there to stop us in our track and to tell us, oh, then in that sense, my fate is sealed. No, it is the very God who has sent the Lord Jesus Christ, with whom no sin is beyond redemption. No sin is beyond forgiveness. But you see, the Lord is not ashamed. He tells us everything has been made for its purpose. Actually, for his purpose, the older versions would even put it very bluntly, that the Lord has made everything for himself. Even the wicked, for the day of trouble, the day of evil. Friends, we are here at the threshold of this new year, at the very end of this old year. And I am bringing you face to face with a sovereign God. He is so sovereign that even your sin, he looks at head on and he says, but that one does not alter or frustrate my purpose. So you see, God has created time and he controls time. He so controls time, dear friend, that even he can stop time till he accomplishes his will. Yeah, you look at that passage in Joshua. Joshua chapter 10. It's a story there in the Bible. If the Lord wants, he can repeat it. But it is there to show us that the Lord actually did it. He famously described the passage as the sun stands still. The enemy of the Lord's people, the Amorites. And our interest is just there in verse 13. But let's pick it from verse 12. At that time, Joshua spoke to the Lord in the day when the Lord gave the Amorites over to the sons of Israel. And he said, in the sight of Israel, sun, stand still at Gibeon, and moon in the valley of Aijalon. Verse 13. And the sun stood still, and the moon stopped, until the nation took vengeance on their enemies. Is this not written in the book of Jasher? The sun stopped in the midst of heaven and did not hurry to set for another whole, for about a whole day. Friends, the point we are making then is, this sovereign God is never frustrated when he is carrying out his purpose, and even if he should see it fit to fight time, kwa muda, wakati siendelee, then he will do it. Oh, friends, this is our God, the one who created and controls time. God has purposed this season to include you and me. So we are not here today seated, and as I speak to you, by mistake. Now, actually, ordinarily, there are various things that happen to us, and we feel it, it's a mistake or some problem occurred. I should have been somewhere, but I ended up here. And we speak like that. We are not where we are today by mistake, because it is the Lord who is working out His purpose. Whatever be our experience in life, the tiny little frustrations or the big ones which make you wonder, I mean, how am I going to face 2024? Another clip made its rounds just a couple of weeks back of two gentlemen. Whatever they were involved in, it's not given in the clip, but they are captured in this photo, bruised on the face, badly deformed, and they are captured. And of course, people with their funny comments, then they say, you know, under there is written, these are the guys who had gone to preview, to look to 2024, how it is, how it will be, and they have come back. So it's like you are shown guys with faces bruised badly. And of course, you know, we would laugh, but it's like, people also may say, wow, so that is what 2024 holds for us. There's a bruising, there's a frustration, there's pain. Of course, Kenyans honestly, or maybe TikTok may be from all over the world anyway, but then Kenyans share such, and we can laugh. But this is our God I present to you. And our God is not having 50% power, and the devil has the other 50, so that if things go well for you, then it's like, oh, that's God. God has been good to me. And when things go bad, and we pray, please let's encourage our sister Julia there with the little girl, because this happening to her at the very end of the year, it's like, what will be going on in her mind? What did I do to God? Is the devil in control more than God? I should have been at church with my baby, but I am now in the hospital. I don't know how things will turn out. Ah, my friends, our God is sovereign, and He is carrying out everything according to His purpose, and you are within that bracket. But let me say this nearer the end, that once we are created, remember, we have seen that God created time, God will end time, and then in the third place we saw that God created us to live for a purpose within that time He created. Now, once we are created, once we are created by God, life continues. Life continues eternally. Natural life always flows into spiritual life. You see, even though we will die naturally, we will never be uncreated. So think about that. I've already said that in God's program of time, each one of us
We're in that bracket.
Praise be to God.
But God having given us this life will continue. And even when we die naturally, we will never be uncreated. In other words, life has an eternal dimension.
Hi, Taisha.
We possess souls which will never die. Your soul will never die. You see, some people would wish, I'll use a big word and then explain it. People talk about, people teach what they call annihilation. To annihilate is for something, if it is a piece of paper, you burn it, it becomes ashes, then it's just like that, it's gone. You are annihilated. That's what some people teach. But no, my friends, just a few weeks back, Brother Deacon Clinton led us through the memory verse in Luke chapter 16. Luke chapter 16, verse 22 and 23, where we learned the story about the rich man and Lazarus. Listen to this. The rich man and Lazarus, verse 22 of Luke 16. The poor man died and was carried by the angels to Abraham's side. The rich man also died and was buried. Now, often we may wish that that is the end of the story. But no, it is not the end. There is verse 23. And verse 23 tells us, and in Hades, if you like, in hell, and in Hades, being in torment, the rich man lifted up his eyes and saw Abraham far off and Lazarus at his side. What are we learning there? We are learning, my friends, that we possess souls which will never die. And annihilation is not a biblical doctrine, not a biblical teaching. There is nothing like soul sleep, that when you're dead, your soul has left, you know. No, wait a minute. We continue to exist. And that continuing to exist reflects the life of the Creator who breathed into man. So you know, when man was created and then God breathed into him the breath of life, don't think that life can just end like that. No! Life continues, whether in heaven, like in this story of Luke 16, for Lazarus, or in hell, for the rich man. So, what are we seeing here, therefore? We are seeing that life and death are both all before us today. We can't escape it. You can't say, no, I don't want either. Or I'll just cut myself short. No. And this is the truth that we need to bring to those people who may feel so bound with burdens, and they say, I just want to take my life away. No, actually, that's not a solution. Never, it's not a solution. You can't take your life away. You can't uncreate yourself. You seek for a solution to a challenge or challenges you have. Certainly, the one who provides the solution is the one who gave life. And that's why biblical counseling, showing people what does God say? That is the way that we deal with issues in life, with challenges in life. In Christ, there is eternal life. John 10:10, a verse that we need to know. John 10:10. The thief comes only to steal and kill and destroy. I came that they may have life and have it abundantly. So the Lord Jesus Christ gives life, gives abundant life. And it's not just internal life. I think often people use, you know, when quoting John 3:16, then they throw in or they use the word internal life. No, 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 no. It is eternal life. A life that does not end. However, it must be said that outside of Christ, there is only eternal death. And that is what we see in Luke chapter 16. The rich man was there in Hades, in hell, experiencing eternal death. While those who are in Christ by faith experience eternal life. And so really, by way of application, let me ask, whom will you choose to serve this day going forward? Mungu amekuelekeza, amefikisha mwisho wa 2023. Na kama hakubali, utaona siku ya kesho. There's no guarantee. We are in His hand. He's got a purpose, He's working out. But should He allow you to see the day tomorrow? How are you going to prepare to usher in the new year? How? Whom will you choose then to serve? Friend, I am here to persuade you to consider the one who not only made you, but has allocated your time in this world. Think about that. I know we have gone through so many things the whole year. I'm celebrated so much during Christmas. But I'm just asking you, this God who then has brought you, hemmed you in, we may say, to the age of 2024. Would you not consider Him when He has set time before you? And the time comes when He will finally judge. And His judgment is correct, is just. It's not like the judges in our day who are bribed and who then let the guilty person go free and the innocent is locked in. My daughter frequents a committed prison, and she would often come back and say, you know, I've talked with people who say they're there though they are innocent. They were not able to convince the judge to acquit them. But they know, it is known, that they are innocent. They are serving in committee, and of course, even other prisons. The world can appear very unjust, but a time comes when this person who has allocated time for each one of us then calls us on that great day when all the wrongs will be made right. But he's the one I'm persuading you to consider. Please consider him. This end of 2023 can just be that year or that day, this last day, when you begin to count the time as we used to count it, the day I was born again. That was my second birth. And whenever you tell your story, you will say, yes, I remember my spiritual birth was on this day. But I end with a word of encouragement to those who are believers. You are here today, you know you are saved. Whatever language communicates to you, you know you are a believer. You know your sins have been forgiven. You know you are a Christian in a true sense of the word as we use it in this church, biblically. If you're a believer, then really my word for you is this. All sufferings, all bitter experiences that we are going through today and that we have carried with us to this moment, all of that, friends, look at them sincerely as but for a moment, for a while. In other words, for a brief space of time. Look at them as ordered within the timing of the God who made the time, the God who will end the time, the God who has created you within that time for a purpose. And a part of the purpose is the experience you're going through, which is painful, which is difficult, and you don't know how long it will be. Because that is biblical. 1 Peter chapter 5. 1 Peter chapter 5. Verse 9. Verse 10 and verse 11, I just read. It's a whole sermon actually, but I read. Resist him, that is the devil. Resist him firm in your faith, knowing that the same kinds of suffering are being experienced by your brotherhood throughout the world. Brotherhood here is other believers also. So if you are a believer, you are in the brotherhood of the people Peter was writing to. Verse 10. And after you have suffered a little while, the God of all grace, who has called you to his eternal glory in Christ, will himself restore, confirm, strengthen and establish you. Amen. Those verbs are strong. God himself will restore, will confirm, will strengthen, will establish. To him be the dominion forever and ever. Amen. Your owner, your controller, we'll finish the work. for His glory and for our benefit. I end up by bringing a word of encouragement to the unsaved person sitting here. Honestly, you know in your heart you're not saved. We're about to finish, so could you control, please, the going out? You are here, but you know you are not saved. You know what? Your very breath is in His hand. The hand of the God who made time, who will end time, and who created you for a purpose. So your very breath is in His hand. He's been so patient with you, honestly, all through these 365 days, and the last day is drawing to an end. I mean, He could have done anything to you. He could have let your life end. I'm not just threatening you. Remember, I am raising thee for your encouragement that you may be saved. But I am saying, God could have just cut short your life as He has done with other lives that you know. But He says, if you believe in my Son, you will have eternal life. That's what He says. A great promise. John 3:16. In His Son there is eternal life. And remember, you cannot cease. You will not cease. You will not turn back your life. Once you've been given that life, you will leave it. Then the language is now either ufike mbinguni or sadly motoni. And so here we are at a crossroad. Whom will you serve? Where will you turn to? Please don't delay. Seek Him. Call upon Him now. Receive this eternal life which He gives ever so graciously, so freely. Let me just give you words of a hymn here, and then we will end. This writer, author of hymn, puts it this way: my times are in your hand, or thy hand. My God, I wish them there. My life, my friends, my soul, I leave entirely to thy care. My times are in thy hand, whatever they may be, pleasing or painful, dark or bright, as best may seem to thee. My times are in thy hand. Why should I doubt or fear? A father's hand will never cease his child a needless, or will never cause his child a needless tear. My times are in thy hand, Jesus the crucified, the hand my cruel sins have pierced, is now my God and guide. And so, friends, our times are in His hands. How will this turn out for you? And not just the day tomorrow, should He allow us to see the day tomorrow, but in eternity. Will you spend eternity in hell or eternity in heaven? And that is something that you work on now.
Put a scum of money against your faith. You need to believe in the Lord Jesus.
And then you'll be forgiven your sin and you will be ready for heaven.
You refuse, you reject, you suspend, or you say, well, I'm not sure. Preacher, no. I mean, I want to claim, I want to see good in my life first. I don't trust this God of yours, who you say, even when we suffer, he is in control. I want a different story. And in that case, you'd go to a place like in the neighborhood where they tell you, come and all your problems will be gone. And we know their problems don't go. And so they are kept in this whirlwind. This is the God I urge you to deal with. The God who has your time in his hands. And so sent the Lord Jesus to be the Savior of sinners like you and like me. Let's pray. Lord our God, thank you for who you are, a sovereign God, the one who created time for Israel. And he says, from the moment you redeemed them, then they began to mark their calendar that day. Thank you, Lord. Everyone you redeem should be able to say, yes, I began to live my life as a saved person before the Lord in such and such a day. But Lord, we have also seen everything is in your hand. Even when we mess up in sin, you know it. But you are merciful to forgive and to put us in the right track for your glory within the time you allow us. So hear our prayer. Cause us, O God, then, to live our lives to the full within the time that you have given us for your glory. For this we pray in Jesus' name. Amen.